ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ ॐ मे वी ओ गॉड्स हियर विथ अवर इयर्स What is auspicious? May we, O worshipful gods, see with our eyes what is good. May we, strong in limbs and body, sing your praise and enjoy the life allotted to us by Prajapati. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. Continuing, Mundaka Upanishad, we know the background, the knowledge of Brahman is coming through the Guru Sishya Parampara Sampradaya, directly Brahma, the creator himself, that means it is the purest of knowledge. And now we enter into the sixth generation disciple called Shaunaka. He approached this great teacher who had learnt it from his guru called Angirasa. How did he approach? Vidhivat. According to the expected manner in Guru Sishya Sampradaya, first endowed with all the great qualities, spiritual qualities necessary for receiving and retaining the instructions, then with great humility, and he was extremely desirous of realizing highest truth, he approached and must have surrendered himself like Arjuna. And then he asked only one question without beating the bush. Kasminnu bhagavo vignate sarvavidam vignatam bhavati iti. By knowing one, we will come to know everything that was, that is, and that will be. The answer to this question could only be one. What is it? This universe was created long back and it is continuously being created, maintained, and everything that is created is nothing but coming out of the manifest into the manifest, and again it goes back like a circle back to the origin. This process not only started many, many aeons ago, but every millisecond new creations are coming and they stay for some time and then dissolve back into the unmanifest again. The nearest example would be when we go to a seashore, any number of waves continuously go on, they are originated and then they stay for a short time and then they go back. Even Brahma's lifetime is nothing but just a moment in comparison with the infinite. And therefore the question was, I want to know the original cause of every other cause. If I know that, I know about the entire universe, even that is going to be created after billions and billions of aeons. How do we understand it? If I have the knowledge of gold, I have the knowledge of every object that can be produced, that can be shaped out of gold. There is actually no other object. The true object is gold only. The gold shaped in a particular way and named because of that particular shape and utilized in a particular manner, it is called nama, rupa, form and name and prayojana utility. By knowing the one cause, we will know everything else that could ever be. What is the benefit? If we know the cause, because I am also created at this moment. I come to know the whole world is created by our manifestation of Brahma, and I am also a manifestation of Brahma. That means I am none other than Brahma. I am like the golden ornament. I am really pure gold. Because of the name and form, I mistake myself as though I am separate from gold. Once I come to know my true nature, that is called knowing the cause, that is called knowing the one thing, then I regain my knowledge of my true nature, and thereafter I will never again fall into the bondage of samsara. That is being told here. That was the question. That was the third mantra we had discussed. In answer, instead of saying about Parabrahman, the great Rishi Angiras, what is he telling? Tasmai saho vacha dve vidye veditavye itihasma yad brahmavido vadanti paracha eva aparacha. To him, Angirasa, to Shaunaka, Angirasa said, two kinds of knowledge must be known. That's what the knowers of Brahman, they always say. What are they? Two kinds of knowledge. Why two kinds of knowledge? Why did he not go directly and say only about the supreme knowledge instead of talking about the lower type of knowledge? Because both types of knowledges are inseparable. If a person had become a saint, that means previously he was not a saint. So he had to go through the necessary discipline. Life on this earth is to give us that necessary discipline. If somebody says, perhaps Shaunaka might have been a fit disciple, perhaps an unfit disciple approaches a guru with apparent sincerity, and then if he is explained the highest truth, it will be like understanding. To a ignorant person, highest truth cannot be told. There is a story, I mentioned it earlier, if you remember. There was a villager, he was very sincere. He approached a guru. Guru gave him a description of God, that he is Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma, etc., Ajaha, Avyayaha, etc., and asked him to go and meditate. But he could understand neither the head nor the tail. After some time, he came and said, I cannot meditate. The intelligent guru understood and said, what do you love most? I love my buffalo. Now go and think, God has become your buffalo. And this time there was no problem. He loved the buffalo and he was not coming out. It was a hut with a very low door. So the guru went there to call him, perhaps for lunch or dinner. Come out, he commanded him. Disciple said, sir, I want to come out, but my horns are not allowing me to come out. That means the intelligent guru has explained to the disciple the nature of God through what the disciple already knew, and that much only he could know. So this aparavidya is like asking a less intelligent person, and we all fall into that category, to meditate upon God, just like that man was advised to meditate upon a buffalo. Interesting point is, we all, or at least some of us, might look down and say, oh, that person, that villager, must be really of low intelligence. So he had to be given that, what is called buffalo. Do we worship buffalo? Yes, whenever Durga Puja is done, not only this Mahishasura is worshipped, he is garlanded, he is praised, and in fact the Divine Mother's incarnation was all because of that buffalo. So you have to understand, whenever you wish to remember an avatara, first salute the Ravanasura and the Kamsasura and the Putana and then all those people. It is they who really brought down God into the form of an avatar. That's why we worship it. Anyway, I'm just making a little bit of fun, but it happens also to be true. We are all disguised asuras. Only we do not look like Chandamama's Rakshasas, but in reality we are all asuras. Asura means a person who revels in unreality, non-reality, thinking that it is the only reality. Coming back to our subject, two kinds of knowledge are necessary. One, to prepare us for the reception, make us fit. And then only the Mahavakya Shravana will be given, higher knowledge will be given. Now, what are those lower knowledge and higher knowledge? Two types of knowledge. And we will be surprised to think about them here. In the fifth mantra, this Angirasa, the great teacher, is telling, Tatra apara Rigvedo, Yajurvedaha, Samavedo, Atharvavedaha, Siksha, Kalpo, Vyakaranam, Niruttam, Shando, Jyotisham, Iti. Atha para yaya tat aksharam adhigamyate. Of these two types of knowledges, in lower knowledge is the Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda. These are called four Vedas, and this is the foundation of the entire Hindu Sanskriti or culture. All Vedas are only four. That is why we call Brahma. Brahma means Veda. Chaturmukha, it is four types, four by four names. Then Vedangas, they are called auxiliaries. The things which help us understand these Vedas, they are called auxiliaries, and they are six. Siksha means phonetics, Kalpa means the science of rituals, Vyakaranam is grammar, Nirukta is etymology, Chandas is meter, and Jyotish, that is Jyotisha, astronomy. And the higher knowledge is that by which imperishable Brahman is attained. Paravidya, the highest knowledge, is only one. What is it? Knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of God. That is the highest knowledge, because here is something very wonderful we have to understand. Whatever knowledge we have, we become that knowledge. I discussed this point, so you please go back and recollect. When, for example, anger, the thought of anger arises in our mind, at the beginning, it remains separate. I am separate. Anger is separate. But a moment later, I, the Jiva, Jivatma, becomes completely identified. He doesn't say, I have anger. He says, or he feels, I am anger, and reacts appropriately. How do we know whether a person is completely identified with knowledge or not? His action and reaction tells us whether he is identified or not. If he has not identified, it will not produce appropriate reaction. But if he is identified, instantaneously his behavior will be helplessly, uncontrollably, he will act and react according to that. That means he became the knowledge. This is an invariable rule. Therefore, if a person attains knowledge of Brahman, it is to say, the knowledge, I am Brahman. At first, it is a thought in the mind that I am Brahman. That is called Brahma Akara Vritti. But very soon afterwards, when a person reaches that state, when the only thought that ever arises in such a mind is that I am Brahman, very soon, by the grace of God, instead of that thought, he becomes completely identified, and thereafter he doesn't even think, because to think, the instrument called mind is necessary. Here he goes beyond the mind, beyond the sukshma sarira and karana sarira, beyond the subtle body as well as the causal body. Where there is no mind, there is no thought. But it is not non-existence, ఇట్ ఈస్ ప్యూర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. ఎనీథింగ్ ఎన్వలప్డ్ బై ది మైండ్ ఈజ్ కండిషన్డ్ లిమిటెడ్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. సో దాట్ నాలెడ్జ్ విచ్ మేక్స్ అస్ నో వితౌట్ ది లీస్ట్ బిట్ ఆఫ్ డౌట్ ఐ హామ్ గాడ్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ పరావిద్య, సుప్రీం నాలెడ్జ్. బట్ దాట్ విచ్ త్రూ ది హెల్ప్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ ఓన్లీ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ అపరావిద్య ఈజ్ నాట్ అపోజిట్ టు పరావిద్య. ది లోయర్ నాలెడ్జ్ దెర్ ఆర్ టూ టైప్స్. వన్ విచ్ విల్ మేక్ అస్ ఫర్గెట్ గాడ్, దట్ డజంట్ డిజర్వ్ టు బి కాల్డ్ లోయర్ నాలెడ్జ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ నాన్ నాలెడ్జ్. లోయర్ నాలెడ్జ్ మీన్స్ దట్ ఎలోన్ విచ్ మేక్స్ మీ ఫిట్ టు గో ఫార్వర్డ్ అండ్ అబ్టైన్ దట్ సుప్రీం నాలెడ్జ్, దట్ ఎలోన్ డిజర్వ్స్ టు బి కాల్డ్ అపరావిద్య. అండ్ వాట్ ఆర్ వి టాకింగ్ అబౌట్? వేద ఈజ్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు టూ పార్ట్స్, ది ధర్మకాండ అండ్ ది జ్ఞానకాండ. ది జ్ఞానకాండ ఈజ్ వాట్ హియర్ అంగిరస ఈజ్ టీచింగ్ శౌనక. దిస్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ పరావిద్య ఆర్ సుప్రీం నాలెడ్జ్, హైయెస్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్, హయ్యర్ నాలెడ్జ్. బట్ ది ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాస్ కాల్డ్ కర్మకాండ ఆర్ ధర్మకాండ. ఇట్స్ పర్పస్ ఈజ్ టు లీడ్ మ్యాన్ గ్రాడ్యువల్లీ బట్ ష్యూర్లీ ఇన్ టు దిస్ సెకండ్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞానకాండ, దట్ ఎలోన్ డిజర్వ్స్ టు బి కాల్డ్ అపరా విద్య. టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ది ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాస్ వీ నీడ్ సిక్స్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ హెల్ప్స్. దే ఆర్ లైక్ ఎయిడ్స్ త్రూ విచ్ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది రైట్ పర్పోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది కర్మకాండ. వాట్ ఆర్ దే? అండ్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో లేబెల్డ్ ఇన్ ది విదిన్ ది ఫోర్ వేదాస్. నౌ ఫస్ట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు డీల్ విత్ ది క్వశ్చన్. వీఆర్ స్టడీయింగ్ ముండకోపనిషత్ అండ్ ఆల్సో కఠోపనిషత్ అండ్ దే ఆర్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాస్. సో దట్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో అపరా విద్య. శంకరాచార్య కమ్స్ టు అవర్ ఎయిడ్ అండ్ హెల్ప్స్ అస్. ది గ్రేట్ శంకర సేస్ ది ఇంటలెక్చువల్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఇంటలెక్చువల్లీ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ది రైట్ వే, హ్యావింగ్ కెప్ట్ అవర్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ది స్క్రిప్చర్స్ ఎస్పెషల్లీ ఇన్ ది వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది గురు, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ శ్రద్ధ. అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది పర్పోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ అపరా విద్య. బట్ త్రూ శ్రవణ మనన అండ్ నిధిధ్యాసన టు కన్వర్ట్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇన్ టు దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ ఆక్సిలరీస్ యాక్చువల్ రియలైజేషన్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ పరా విద్య. సో శ్రీరామకృష్ణ కమ్స్ టు అవర్ ఎయిడ్, సేస్ మెనీ హ్యావ్ హర్డ్ అబౌట్ మిల్క్, మెనీ హ్యావ్ ఈవెన్ సీన్ మిల్క్, బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ డ్రంక్ ది మిల్క్, హ్యావింగ్ డ్రంక్ దే హ్యావ్ బికమ్ స్ట్రాంగ్. నౌ హూ ఈస్ ది వైజెస్ట్ పర్సన్? ఓన్లీ ది పర్సన్ హూ హ్యాస్ డ్రంక్ ది మిల్క్. ది పర్సన్ హూ హర్డ్ అండ్ నోస్ మిల్క్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఫాల్స్ అండర్ అపరా విద్య. అండ్ ది పర్సన్ ప్రొక్యూర్స్ దట్ మిల్క్ అండ్ యట్ నాట్ యట్ డ్రంక్ హీ ఆల్సో ఫాల్స్ అండర్ అపరా విద్య. బట్ ది పర్సన్ హూ హ్యాస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ అండ్ వన్స్ హీ హ్యాస్ డ్రంక్ ఈవెన్ వన్ డ్రాప్ ఆఫ్ మిల్క్ గోస్ ఇన్ సైడ్, హీ నోస్ ది ఎంటైర్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది మిల్క్ అండ్ నాట్ ఫర్ ఎటర్నిటీ. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ పరా విద్య. సో దట్ ఈస్ వేర్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఏ పండిట్ మే లెర్న్ ఆల్ ది ఫోర్ వేదాస్ అండ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దెమ్ ఇంటలెక్చువల్లీ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ రైట్లీ. బట్ ఇఫ్ హీ డజంట్ బికమ్ ఏ సాధక, ఏ స్పిరిచువల్ ఆస్పైరెంట్, ఇఫ్ హీ డజంట్ బికమ్ ఏ ఫిట్ ఆస్పైరెంట్ బై అక్వైరింగ్ ది సాధన చతుష్టయ సంపత్తి, సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ స్టిల్ ఇన్ ది అపరా విద్య. ఇంపార్టెంట్ పాయింట్ ఈజ్ అపరా విద్య షుడ్ నెవర్ బి డిస్కార్డెడ్, డిస్రిగార్డెడ్. వితౌట్ ఇట్ వీ కెన్ నెవర్ కమ్ టు ది పరా విద్య. ఎ సిక్ మ్యాన్ హీ రిక్వైర్స్ సర్టెన్ క్లచెస్, బట్ ఇఫ్ ఈజ్ ఎ ఫూల్ హీ విల్ థ్రో అవే ది క్లచెస్ అండ్ ఇట్ విల్ టేక్ ఎ లాంగ్ టైమ్ ఫర్ హిమ్ టు రికవర్. సో ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ క్లచెస్. క్లచెస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ది రియల్ థింగ్. ది రియల్ పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ది క్లచెస్ ఈస్ టు హెల్ప్ అస్ అల్టిమేట్లీ టు థ్రో దెమ్ ఆఫ్. If we keep in mind, we will understand it. Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. Veda is one single Veda, is subdivided by Veda Vyasa into these four parts because it was too much. He had four disciples and he had imparted each part of the Veda by giving these names, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda, so that it can be easily grasped. As we say, the earlier generations had capacity to understand better, but later on it has become very difficult for the later generations to understand it. Now, not to speak of one Veda, the point is, all of us, do we deserve to be called Ekavedi? No. Have you at least studied one Upanishad? No. Have you at least studied Bhagavad Gita? No. Here and there, yes, you have tasted. Have you completely studied it and saw the whole meaning in the light of unified understanding? Absolutely no. That is the first step. Then after having understood, have you devoted at least a part of your life towards the acquisition of what Bhagavan Krishna calls Tad Vishnoh Paramam Padam? Absolutely no. This Apara Vidya consists of all the four Vedas. That means every knowledge, any knowledge which doesn't lead to God, it falls under not even Apara Vidya. But any knowledge at least inspires us, transforms our character, though it doesn't give highest realization, that alone deserves to be called Apara Vidya. Study of the Upanishads especially, study of the Bhagavad Gita, study of the Brahma Sutras, etc. Now naturally the question comes, what about people who cannot understand? Do they have no hope? Yes, there is a hope. Take the name of Bhagavan, develop bhakti, and developing bhakti is called Apara Vidya. When that bhakti takes us to the Parabhakti, Raga Bhakti, that is called Paravidya, because supreme love and supreme knowledge, they are exactly one and the same, and that is the clarification given to us by Swami Vivekananda in his incomparable book Bhakti Yoga. Coming back to our subject, to understand the Vedas, we require six type of helps. What is the first thing? It is called Siksha. Now the word Siksha means their punishment or training. Sangeeta Siksha means this training in music. But a thief has been given a punishment Siksha, jail Siksha. They are called auxiliaries. That is also known as Siksha. But Siksha means here correction actually. In that sense, it is a learning process, and a thief also is made to learn it is not right to steal others' property. A child is given Siksha, that means Krama Siksha or daily discipline slowly so that he can understand things better. Whatever way we take it, Siksha here means first of all phonetics. What is phonetics? Nothing to do with mobile phone. Phonetics means correctly pronouncing Sanskrit words. In fact, any language, if correctly pronounced, is a joy to hear. You can go to YouTube or some videos. There are some people, even speakers, whose voice is so crystal clear. Every syllable you can understand wonderfully well. It's a joy by itself to listen to something pronounced correctly. And that training which helps us to pronounce everything correctly, and that is a great discipline, it is called phonetics or Siksha. Then Kalpa. The Vedas consists of four parts: Mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka and Upanishad. So here we are talking about most people are householders. They have many desires to be fulfilled, and the Vedas show a way how they can fulfill all their desires. Please note down this. They can fulfill all the desires. Not one desire, but every desire. There are two ways of fulfilling the one's desires. One is go through the school, college, university, get a job, earn money, obtain the thing and try to enjoy it. There is another way, that is just to pray to God, because He is the source of not only Saraswati, not only Lakshmi. We give the example, though probably not very appropriate. There are great people in this world like Kalidasa, etc. They obtained that great knowledge of literature, of poetry, etc. because the Divine Mother in a trice made them get these things, any type of knowledge. What are we talking here? The first part of the Vedas, Purvakanda, called Karmakanda, which I prefer to call Dharmakanda, deals with all rituals. These rituals, how they have to be used, for what purpose they have used, at what time they have used, and in what manner they have to be used, all these details are given there in the second part of the Veda, which is called Brahmana, and the books which deal with these details, endless details, they are called this Kalpa. In the modern terms, there are certain books, they are called Puja Paddhati, how to perform pujas, etc. There are very detailed books in Bengali, in Hindi, and especially in Bengali, I saw all sorts of pujas, how they could be performed, what mantras, how many type of rituals, etc., etc. And that is what here is called Kalpa. Then, Vyakaranam. Vyakaranam means grammar. If one doesn't know Vyakaranam, whether Rama killed Ravana or Ravana killed Rama, if Vyakarana is not known, then the meaning of the words will be completely distorted. I have heard people talking using yesterday for tomorrow and tomorrow for yesterday, and we have also very little knowledge of tense. In English language, grammar requires the present tense, past tense, future tense, and present continuous, future continuous, and past continuous, etc. If we do not know, it gives to ridiculous understanding. Vyakarana is very necessary where to split properly. In fact, great teachers sometimes deliberately are experts in grammar. Everything has come from Sat. But because of the grammatical lenience, everything has come from Asat, non-existence. There are also people who could misinterpret it. What is my point? Vyakarana grammar is a very important aid to understand the Vedas, which is Apaurusheya, to understand it as far as possible in the right way. Then we have got Nirukta. Nirukta means etymology. Etymology means the roots from where all these words have come out. If we know these things, we can enjoy, our understanding also becomes better. For example, the word Brahma had come from the root Brih. Brih means vast. Vast means not huge. Vast means infinity here. More than that, there is no other thing which is bigger than that. That means it is not a mosquito. It is smaller. In comparison, an elephant is huge. We are not talking about that kind of comparative hugeness. That hugeness beyond which there is nothing else. That means it is the infinity, Ananta. And that which is Ananta, infinite, is called Brahma. Similarly, Krishna. What is the root? Krish. Krish means to pull. He who pulls you, just as a fisherman puts a hook in the mouth of the fish and pulls it towards him, he who pulls you and helplessly you have to be drawn to him, like a magnet draws iron filings, he is called Krishna. Rama. Ramayate iti Ramaha. He who delights you and you cannot think of anything else and you cannot delight in anything else, that name of that person, that being, is called Rama. So I gave this example because we are followers of mostly Ramakrishna. So what are we talking here? Nirukta means etymology. That's a great aid for us to understand the purport of the Vedas. Chandas, meter. Every mantra has got a meter. For example, Bhagavad Gita is mostly consisting of one meter called Anushtup. If someone is repeating Gayatri mantra, Gayatri is consisting of, should consist of 24 letters of 3 lines, 8 syllables each. If it is not 24, if it is less, it takes another name. If it is 24, then that is called Gayatri. Now the point is, whenever we repeat Gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha, and then we go on with the real Gayatri. This Om plus Bhur Bhuvah Svaha is not part of the Gayatri mantra at all. Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat. That alone has to be considered as true Gayatri mantra. That is necessary also, helps us to clear the real purport of the Vedas. And many of the mantras are composed in meters. Some part of it is in prose form. For example, first part of the Veda, also called mantra, also called samhita, a collection of mantras, is mostly written only in a poetry form with meters. The second part, Yajurveda, is completely what is called prose only, to explain how rituals have to be done and what result will come. And if you have any particular desire in your mind, and that can be used to obtain, fulfill your particular desire. Whereas Samaveda, it is set to music, and therefore it is a musical composition mantra. Thus, this chandas or meter is very useful. And by the way, perhaps most of you know, all the Indian music has been derived from this Samaveda only. Then we have got the last, sixth one, Jyotish, means astronomy. By astronomy, when rituals have to be done, you cannot do it at any time, anywhere. They have to be done at a particular time, in a particular place, in a particular manner, and this astronomy helps us to determine the right time. These six, phonetics, rituals, grammar, etymology, meter, and astronomy, these are called Veda Anga, parts of the Veda, subsidiaries, so that they can help us to understand Vedas properly. These, all these fall under which category? Aparavidya. What is the essence of what we have discussed so far? Understand the teaching of the Guru properly, and these can help us definitely. But what is the direct answer to the question Shaunaka had put to his Guru Angirasa? Atha yaya para. That is called paravidya. Yaya, with whose help, tat aksharam adhigamyate, that imperishable Brahman is attained. To further simplify, that which prepares us to be a fit recipient of the highest knowledge is called aparavidya, and that which directly helps us to experience and realize, that is called paravidya. That's why the answer has been given. O Shaunaka, have you obtained all the necessary qualifications by properly following the aparavidya? Now, I have to tell you something very interesting. Some parts of the Upanishads, some particular Upanishads, they do not give details. If we have to correctly understand the purport of this, some particular Upanishads, some passages from some particular Upanishads, we have to refer to other types of Upanishads where the details are really given there. I am giving in this context, Aparavidya. In Chandogya, there is a section where Prajapati declared that if you realize the Atman, all your desires will be fulfilled. And two people approached him, one a representative of demons, another a representative of gods, Indra and Virochana. Now, Prajapati knew why they came. And then he asked, why did you come? He wants to hear from their mouths. And they said, we heard your declaration. We have lot of desires. If we know Atma Vidya by realizing the self, all our desires will be fulfilled. Now, that declaration is what is here called Paravidya. By having Aparavidya, so many of your desires will be fulfilled, but your mind will not attain eternal peace because there are many unfulfilled, unexpressed desires also. Here also something very important is there. We think we know what desires we have. If I do not know that there is something called a television set, 200 years before, probably people never heard about this television set. Because I did not know, the desire to possess it never will arise in my mind. This Aparavidya helps us only so far as my mind knows what desires I have and what I desire depends upon my knowledge. But if a person attains Paravidya, let there be thousands and billions of new things about which I do not know, but I will not feel the least bit of desire for them. What is the reason? If you have a black and white TV, then you get some pleasure. If you have a colored TV, then you get a better pleasure. What is the end purpose? To give you happiness. But all happinesses coming through any object, however fulfilled it is limited and binding and dissatisfactory. But if I attain God, then I attain the highest happiness. That means I don't need anything object. So this Prajapati's declaration is that only by realizing God or Brahman, all your desires will be completed. You will become a Purna Kama and you will not be troubled. You will be called Akamahataha. No desire ever arises in you. Now, Prajapati knew, and then what did he do? Go and do tapasya for 32 years. And then they had to do it. Like that, of course, Virochana did 32 years. Indra also did. But Virochana was satisfied. I am not going into that story. And he left. And what was the result? He thought this body is Brahman, so worship the body, cater to it. That means he became an asura, that means pure body-minded person, and he wants only body catering pleasures, and he will be reborn again and again. Nothing has been achieved. Whereas Indra, he was a thinking person, reflecting person, mananasilaha, doubts, so thrice he comes. Only then his knowledge became complete. But each time, Prajapati prescribes him 32 plus 32 plus 32 plus, I think, 5 years more. Now, my point is, here is a person who asked the question, if, Shaunaka, you are not fit, if you are fit, straight away I will give you the answer. If you are not fit, or people like you, Shaunaka doesn't mean Shaunaka, Shaunaka means every aspiring spiritual sadhaka is called Shaunaka. Like Arjuna represents all spiritual aspirants. Some may be qualified, some may not be qualified at all. That's being told here. For such kind of students, here Angirasa is prescribing this Aparavidya so that it can help them. I'll give a small illustration. Once a devotee, I do not remember his name, came to Sri Ramakrishna with great earnestness. Sri Ramakrishna looked at him and he said, in this life, you will not realize God. And that man got offended. He asked, why? And Sri Ramakrishna replied, your body is very weak. With this weak body, Mayamatma Balahinena Labhyaha. With this weak body, you are not going to gain anything, neither the happiness of this world, much less the happiness of the other world. The man got probably either inspired, I would say, but so disappointed. He challenged Sri Ramakrishna. He went back and then he started practicing what we call gymnastics. He went to gymnasium, started training himself, and he became such a strong person. He came back to Sri Ramakrishna and said, "What have you got to say now?" And Sri Ramakrishna smiled and said, "Certainly you will realize God." Now, and Sri Ramakrishna said, "You are not going to realize God." Does he mean it? He means with this present body, you are not going to realize. Because Nayam Atma Balahinin Labhya. A weak body means a weak mind. That's why Swami Vivekananda, what was his exhortation to all the youth in India? Muscles of iron, nerves of steel, gigantic wills. Why did he say that? Because he knew any person who decides to kick us, they had come, they kicked us, and we took refuge in the Karma Siddhanta. It is fate, it is God's will, and Swamiji was not about to swallow all these things. If after complete effort, if something happens, that is prarabdha, that is God's will. But without doing anything, if you go on mumbling, grumbling, then that is not prarabdha at all, but stupidity, weakness. Such a person neither enjoys Svargaloka nor enjoys the happiness of this world at all. Swamiji very often used to say, Virabhogya Vasundhara. This earth is only for the enjoyment of the heroic people, not ordinary people at all. Having completed, in our sixth mantra we are coming. O Shavanaka, you asked, by knowing which everything else is to be known, I am going to tell you. Interesting point here is that this description is so ununderstandable, and how Shavanaka is going to understand it is a wonder. For us, without the help of great acharyas, it is practically impossible for us to understand it. Let me remind ourselves that every word of Sri Ramakrishna contains layers of deep meaning. So one of his often repeated teachings is, Take iti kotte nei. You must never limit God. That means you cannot describe him. Any description is a limitation. The only pointer is neti neti. Coming back, the sixth mantra. The nature of that imperishable reality about which Shavanaka so earnestly wanted to know, approached Angirasa Vidhivat and put the question after pleasing his guru, is described here in order to explain that paravidya, that supreme knowledge. What is it? Yat tat adreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshuhu ashrotram tat apani padam. This is one part of the description, which is purely negative description. But now he goes to the so-called positive, not really positive, so-called positive description. What is nityam, vibhum, sarvagatam, susukshmam, tad avyayam, yad bhuta yonim, paripashyanti dhirah. By means of the higher knowledge, the wise behold everywhere Brahman, which otherwise cannot be seen or seized, which has no root or attributes, no eyes or ears, no hands or feet, which is eternal, omnipresent, all-pervading, and extremely subtle, which is imperishable, and the source of all beings. That means the source of the entire universe, not only the present universe, but of all the past universes and of all the future worlds also. Now, what is this description? Really, your question, O Shavanaka, it is difficult to put in human words. But these are hints. These are like symbols, like an arrow symbol. Arrow symbol doesn't give us the knowledge, but it gives us a hint. Walk this way. What is the nature of Brahman? We have discussed it both in Bhagavad Gita, Katha Upanishad because every Upanishad gives exactly the same teaching in different words. First of all, he says, this Brahman is not available for the five Jnana Indriyas, the organs of knowledge. Secondly, Brahman is not available for all the five organs of action. Pancha Jnana Indriya, Pancha Karma Indriya, both these 10 organs of knowledge as well as action can never fathom because they are all very limited. This is first part in the negative description. Then this is the what is these 10 sense organs can never have even the faintest idea of what really Brahman is. To understand this, Sri Ramakrishna's parable of 4 blind men. That blind man who is touching the leg of the elephant and thinks that is the entire elephant, he can never understand the entire elephant. What he understood is only a minuscule part of the real understanding of the Brahman. On the other hand, in the first line itself, there is other one. Brahman himself doesn't have an eye, that means this Jnanendriyas. He doesn't have any Jnanendriyas. He doesn't have any Karmendriyas. That means he doesn't have 3 bodies. A gross, subtle and causal bodies he doesn't have. And that which we experience constantly, either the waking state or dream state or dreamless state, that is all we know. We go round and round and round of these 3 experiences. All our knowledge is totally circumscribed only within the walls of these experiences. On the other hand, Brahman is beyond that. Yet, is he realizable? Yes, you can realize him by becoming one with him, but you cannot experience it. So what is Angirasa telling? Brahman is indescribable. Brahman, because Brahman is inexperienceable. You cannot objectify Brahman. Brahman is the subject. A table will never come to know about you. You can know about the table, but the table will never know about you. The table is totally dependent upon you to cognize it, but you are completely independent. Brahman can know everything, God can know everything, but nobody can know Brahman because everybody has limited instrument. The body is an instrument, the mind also is an instrument. If we understand this, the first line has got 2, and what is it? These 10 organs with which we work cannot grasp him, cannot understand. And he doesn't have any of these organs. That means he is formless. That means he is nameless. That means he is pervading everywhere. And that has been described in the second half. Let us now go into details. Adresya means invisible. Visible means the function of the eye. Whatever the eye is able to see, that is visible. What the eye cannot see, that is invisible. Here, what is this? Eye is representing all the 5 organs of knowledge. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, as well as the skin. Agrahyam, it cannot be grasped. The hands can grasp, the legs can grasp. All our pancha karmendriyas, 5 organs of action, they all interact. That interaction is called grasping. All these can never grasp. But all these 5 organs of action are indicated by one word, agrahyam. Then agotram. Usually, the word gotra means our family lineage. That is, I have got Vasishta, Vishwamitra, I come. This is family. This is family. But he is not born. A being who is never born. To which gotra he belongs? Absolutely it is impossible. That is very interesting for us to understand. Agotra means one who has no family. Purandar Dasa has a beautiful song. Purandar Dasa got very angry with God. Being a poet, he expressed his anger in a most poetic manner. He said that I have been telling myself, leveling myself, I am a, what do you call, orphan. I don't have anybody. You are the only person. And that is the expression of bhakti with humility. But because God is not responding, this Purandar Dasa became very annoyed with him and said, "Hey, you fellow, you God, who says I am an anatha? I have got my father, I have got my mother. Now you are the real anatha. Tell me, who is your father, who is your mother? Does God have father or mother? He is the cause of everything, causeless cause." But indirectly teaching us the highest Vedanta, God is never born, a being who is not born, a baby who is born, not born, he will not have any, what is called, family at all. That is the meaning of it. Apply it to everywhere. One who has no family. Only one who is born has parentage and therefore gotram. Brahman is not born, therefore he cannot have any gotram. Avarnam. Varna, the word varna, we can interpret it in three ways. One is caste, that's why we say brahmana, varnashrama, varna, dharma. Brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. This is called caste. And varna means the blue color, red color, etc. It is color. Varna also means in Sanskrit language property. So that means what? God is, Brahman is casteless. He is a casteless because he is not born at all. He who has got no gotra, no family, you cannot label Brahman as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. And he has no color because he is not an object. Because a color or a quality can always depends upon an object. The object may be colorless, qualityless, but no quality ever adheres independent of an object, completely dependent. Can you show a red color when there is no flower or tree or a wall or anything? You cannot conceive of it. If you say red color, there is a red rose, there is a red animal, and there is a red painting on the wall, some object must be there. So he is also colorless. And varna also means property. Again, properties, you know, my wealth, my house, my children, and my power, all these things only depend upon a being. But he is not a manifested being. Being unmanifested, he can never have any properties. So this is the avarnam. Shankaracharya has taken it in the third meaning. This avarna means it has no property or attributes. And that is why to express any object in this world, it is jati or kriya or guna or sambandha or rudi, have to be taken help of. Either a person belongs to a caste or he can be described as having a particular action, or he is the relation of somebody, as he has got a wonderful quality. But Brahman being devoid of all these, description of Brahman is totally impossible. Then, susukshmam, extremely subtle, means difficult to comprehend. Brahman can never be thought about. He is beyond any type of conception. It is beyond comprehension, but it can be realized only. Tat avyayam. And what is another quality of Brahman? Avyayam. Vyayam means that which slowly gets destroyed. Avyayam means just the opposite. Without decay, disintegration, and as we discussed, every manifested object goes through sixfold change. Jayate, asti, vardhate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyate, and Brahman never being born, never undergoes any change. And bhuta yoni, most important word, what is bhuta means? all the created things in this world, both with life and without life, is called Bhuta Yoni. Yoni means the womb from which everything has come. Here Yoni means cause. The entire world, Jagat, has come from Brahman. How do we know? Because the Upanishad tells us. What does it tell? Atmana akasha sambhutaha, akasha dvayuhu, vayur agnihi, agne rapaha, adhya prithivi, prithivyam oshadayaha, oshadibhyo annam, annat rasamayaha, purushaha. He is the origin, and yet he is also not the origin. We will come to that point later on. It means, here Bhuta Yoni means Brahman is the cause of everything. If you see an effect, and this world is an effect, because this world is an effect, in this mantra is telling that there must be a cause. And that is how we understand the ultimate cause of everything in this world is none other than Brahman. This is a point which we need to elaborate, which we did in the Katha Upanishad in the morning, that the Indriyebhya Parahyarthaha Manastu Parah. In that particular mantra, we will do that in our next class. So, the first half of this mantra describes beautifully that Brahman, by negating any attributes, etc., is not born, doesn't have any attributes, it has no color, that means it is not born, it is not manifested. The second half indicates, in certain positive terms, remember all these positive terms are meant as a pointers, not to show its real nature. By certain positive epithets, Nityam, Vibhum, Sarvagatam, etc., etc. And this, the answer which Shaunaka was seeking, and when a Sadguru gives this instruction to a Satshishya, a fit and apt disciple, it surpasses, it doesn't touch the mind at all, but direct understanding from the teacher to the disciple takes place and instantaneous recognition comes. Example is, as soon as Totapuri initiated and explained to Sri Ramakrishna what is the meaning of Aham Brahmasmi, instantaneously he plunged himself into deep samadhi. So there are a few points more we will discuss in our next class. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunayama Devaha, Bhadram Pashye Makshavirya Jatraha, Sthirai Rangai Stushtu Vagum Sastanubhihi, Vyashema Devahitan Yadayuhu, Swastina Indro Vridhashravaha, Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha, Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanemihi, Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.